It's estimated that 5 million people over the age of 60 each year are abused by a family member, a friend, maybe by a caregiver, or by someone who works for them. The show's Lauren Gilger joins us with more on this. Lauren, what exactly is the definition of elder abuse?
Right, so it can be a range of things. An elderly person might have money stolen from them, they might be left alone without necessary care, or they might succumb to isolation and self-neglect. This is where you see often a lot of cases of hoarding crop up. If it's a public health problem that doesn't get the same kind of attention that domestic violence or child abuse do, according to Marilyn Kasanick, she's with the Area Agency on Aging. I spoke with her as well as their care coordination director, Scott Hawthorne Thwaite, more about this issue. They're speaking out today because it is World Elder Abuse Day, and they say there are a lot of factors that can lead to this.
As older adults become dependent upon other members of the family and the community to help care for them, they become vulnerable and can become a victim.
I want to take a step back and talk a little bit about what exactly we mean when we say elder abuse. Can you give us some examples?
Well, there's certainly different types of elder abuse. One that we deal with a lot is self-neglect, where there actually is not a perpetrator. It's the client who is somewhat socially isolated. And we often find people where it's either a lifestyle decision or because of chronic illness or their situation, they are no longer a part of the community. We see this sometimes with weight loss, dehydration, malnutrition, poor hygiene. We find a lot of folks who have been isolated socially for quite a long time. Some clients who have hoarding tendencies as well.
Right. So it's not always what you think of as abuse, someone coming in and hurting this person in some way.
It can be, but many of the cases are self-neglect.
And in addition to that, sometimes it's family members that neglect. They say that they are willing to take on looking after mom or dad, and then eventually it becomes a burden to them, and so they don't provide the care that they need to provide. The other really unfortunate thing is there's a lot of financial exploitation. Younger, you know, son, daughter, granddaughter, you know, niece, nephew, they run into hard times, and so maybe they move back in with grandma. And then they need money, so they start delving into her account, taking her Social Security, whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, the older adult is destitute.
Scott, it sounds like you work with a lot of the victims of this one-on-one. And I wonder if you can tell us a story or an example of someone who's really stuck with you over the years.
Oh, well, there's many, but we had a gentleman who lives in a rural area of Maricopa County who was living in a small travel trailer. At the time we saw him, he didn't have electricity. He was had the beginning of dementia and really had no community support and was isolated. We were able to go and do an assessment of his situation and start with Meals on Wheels, which was a way to connect him with the community and have somebody visit him each day.
Yeah.
Through that, we were able to convince him through his decision to have additional help with some housekeeping and bathing assistance as well.
I wonder if it becomes difficult at a certain point, because these are adults, obviously. These are people who have taken care of themselves their whole lives, and it probably is hard for them to accept help often.
It can be. Sometimes it's a lifestyle, but really what we're looking at is their ability to make decisions. And people sometimes make poor decisions. We want to make sure that they make informed decisions, and we support clients in their decision.
And, you know, it is hard for an older adult. They don't want to be a burden to their family. They don't want to be a burden to their neighbors. And so as they become more frail, they become more isolated. They close the blinds. They lock the door. And what I think they're afraid of to a great extent, that if someone saw how poorly they were doing, mm-hmm. they will throw them in a nursing home. And so rather than have someone discover them and discover that they need help, they will isolate themselves.
One thing I want to talk about is this larger societal problem, not just of abuse, but I wonder of how we treat elders in our society. There are cultures in the world in which elders are revered, and I would say America is probably not one of them. And I wonder what it is that you think we need to do from a larger cultural perspective to help this situation.
There is elder abuse in every culture. Okay, even though there are cultures that say that they revere their elders, it is going on in all cultures. And it really is this whole issue of family violence, and that we tolerate child abuse and domestic violence, and so elder abuse. It's all a part of that. And so it's in every single culture. And so we need to speak out, as we have done with child abuse and domestic violence, and say it's not okay. And to make sure that people who are perpetrators or abusers are, they're arrested and they have the consequences of committing abuse with an older adult.
I wonder also, there's a difficulty in that because we don't hear about this the same way we hear about child abuse or domestic violence. And I wonder why you think that is. Why is this something we don't talk about as much in our culture?
I think one reason is that there's shame. Most often, an older adult residing in their own home, their abuser is a family member. And there's so much shame to think that my son or my daughter would treat me this way, or that my granddaughter or my grandson or, you know, my sister or my brother, whoever it might be. And there's so much shame around that to say, this is the kind of child that I raised. And if I report them, who's going to take care of me? I'm going to be left without any support whatsoever.
Obviously, you're running this awareness campaign and doing things within the community right now to try to get the message out there about elder abuse. But what can be done on a more personal level for someone who you might know or for a family member? What kind of signs can you look for to help prevent this?
Well, I think the most important thing is to get to know the older adults in your neighborhood. We all know that, you know, the lady four houses down or something lives alone. She's elderly. Get to know them and build trust with them and start looking for signs of, you know, they don't look so well. They have a lot of bruises. Maybe they're not picking up their newspapers or their mail, or their house is unkempt. Mm-hmm. Look for those signs and then try to build that trust so maybe they can share with you that the lady that comes over to clean my house once a month, she's been stealing for me or whatever it might be, but they'd be willing to share that with you.
Mary Lynn Kasenick, President and CEO of the Area Agency on Aging, and Scott Hawthorne-Thwaite, who is the Care Coordination Director there. Thank you for coming in to talk about this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kasenick also told me that if you have concerns about an elderly person in your life, you can call Adult Protective Services, and we put that number on our website at theshow.kjzz.org.
This is Lauren Gilger. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to The Show.